In 1983, after Mel King, a former African-American state representative, lost an historic mayoral election to Ray Flynn by a lopsided 65% to 35% margin, pundits concluded that it was just a matter of time before a person of color took over the reins of power at City Hall. But that time clearly is not now, with all six minority candidates losing in this preliminary election. But does the race of the mayor of Boston really matter to voters? Not to Rudy Diamond, a black man standing outside a polling station Tuesday night in Roxbury.
As long as they have the right ideas for the communities, yeah.
And so the color is secondary?
Color secondary.
But for Sheila MacArthur, a white Felix Arroyo voter, race within the mayoral race does matter.
To have a person of color represent a city that has lots of colors in it, it makes a lot of sense.
Why?
To represent the people better.
Louis Elisa, a veteran watch for Boston's political scene and a Charlotte Gola Ritchie supporter, says the failure in Boston to elect a mayor of color runs counter to historical trends.
Oh, it's extremely important to me as a former head of the NAACP and coming out of New York and working in Chicago and Philadelphia and in Baltimore, where we've had black mayors. You know, I know that they make a difference because they see the world in a totally different perspective.
Elisa went on to point out that city after city, from New York to Chicago to Los Angeles, have elected black and Latino mayors. Indianapolis and Boston are the only major U.S. cities that have not had mayors of color. In the 50s and 60s, the black vote in urban areas had made the difference for many successful white politicians. But while blacks voted for whites who hewed closest to their concerns, the notion of whites voting for blacks was novel in the politics of that era. Then, in 1967, a former state rep from Cleveland, fed up with uneven urban policies that left streets in black neighborhoods unpaved, trash uncollected, and questionable police practices unpunished, decided to run for the mayorship of that city.
Are the people of Cleveland willing to vote for a candidate for mayor who has the best qualifications, who has the best program, who has the philosophy of government and its relationship with people, but whose skin does happen to be black?
One-third of Cleveland's population in the late 1960s was African-American, so Carl Stokes would need a lot of white votes to win, but he was swimming upstream against hardened racial attitudes.
Well, why wouldn't you give Stokes a chance?
Well, I guess it's the idea of having a colored guy in.
But Carl Stokes did win, with the support of a third of white voters, thus helping him become the first African-American mayor of a large urban center. And the questions Stokes asked of voters in 67 were the same ones asked by Mel King in 1983 in Boston, a city that was deeply polarized along racial lines. That September, King received an answer as to whether a significant number of white voters would back a black candidate, coming in second in the preliminary election. King says while race was important historically, his success was predicated on progressive politics of a rainbow coalition.
What I think lifted it up in a way was that we gave it a name, and the people who came together reflected the idea of the rainbow. And it wasn't just one of color, it was of issue, of need. And if you look at it in terms of the story about Noah and the ark in the sky was what was used as a symbol by the Creator telling Noah that this would help you to get to the high ground. And so the idea behind the Rainbow Coalition was people coming together so we could all get to the high ground.
But a dejected supporter of Charlotte Gola Ritchie says Mel King also succeeded because black politicians in Boston in 1983 learned from Chicago's mayor, Harold Washington, to unite behind a single minority candidate. Not so in 2013, said Sukiya Alani.
I was taught by people from Harold Washington's campaign that came here to help Mel King in 83. They taught me how to count and how to do an assessment as to somebody, whether or not someone had a deep enough field base to pull votes everywhere. You're not running to be mayor of Dudley Square or mayor of Grove Hall. You have to be able to pull votes from across the city. Charlotte had that.
You know, I was not really opposed to having all of the candidates run. I think everybody had a right to run. I felt I had a right to run.
third place mayoral candidate, Charlotte Golar Ritchie.
And in fact, before I got into the race, I looked at who might be interested and thought maybe, you know, somebody who, you know, if it were to be honest, you know, Council Presley or somebody else who had been in politics and government more recently, I might have decided not to bother, right, to do it, because I didn't want to see us bumping up against each other in this campaign.
At-large Boston City Councilor Ayanna Presley has often been mentioned as a future mayor of Boston, and she does not dismiss that notion as out of the question. But she says her candidacy should not be defined by traditional identity politics.
Identity politics still exists, but I define it differently. It's a shared identity of values and a vision. I mean, I think certainly, you know, there was an assumption that, you know, my base of support would only be women and only be people of color. But two decisive wins have proven that if you have an agenda and you're working on issues that are relevant and resonate with the entire city, then the entire city will turn out and you can compete in every neighborhood.
Presley says it's the issues that are paramount. And although Thomas Menino's successor will not be a person of color, the concerns championed by minority candidates in this election cannot be ignored, said Boston Globe political reporter Wesley Lawry in a recent appearance on WGBH's Basic Black.
A lot of the issues that communities of color often think get overlooked by our politicians have been discussed at length here. And I think that it's forced the white candidates as well to really embrace these issues and embrace these communities.
Charlotte Golar Ritchie agrees. In a one-on-one interview following her concession speech, the top vote-getter among candidates of color says she intends to broker various issues with Marty Walsh and John Connolly as they race to the mayoral election finish line.
Well, I know that the two candidates who prevailed are proponents of charter schools. I would want to have a conversation with them about that because there are 57,000 students in our 127 Boston public schools that need our attention.
Now, it could be that Boston's first mayor of color, somewhere off in the future, will be neither black nor Latino. The new politics of Boston have also focused the spotlight on rising Asian American politicians, notably newly elected city councilor Michelle Wu.
She's a rising star.
But thinking about her own campaign, Charlotte Golar Ritchie believes, like Mel King, she came very close to making history as Boston's first mayor of color.
And I was finding that these undecideds were breaking my way. Very, very exciting. Every day, more and more people calling, emailing, coming into the offices saying, how can we get involved? But we kind of ran out of time. So what do I say? Philip Martin, we opened a door. We kicked open a door. And you know what? Now it's there for someone to walk through.
It's just a matter of time, says Golar Ritchie. Just a matter of time. Philip Martin, WGBH Boston Public Radio.